Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
Today we continue a journey we began at the start of the month. During the last two shows, Dr. Jennings has revealed the secrets of living with past mistakes, those honest blunders in judgment of which we're all guilty, but some have a hard time moving past. We also examined the sadness and self-loathing that many face after they've strayed from God and entered into a partnership with sin, breaking many of God's laws in the process. On today's broadcast, we begin damage control, seeking counsel from Dr. Jennings on how to find a sense of peace when we've become our own worst enemy, when the number one person we can't stand in this world is ourself. How could we ever learn to love someone so unlovely? Dr. Jennings, the word is self-loathing or self-hatred. We look at our lives, we look at whom we are deep inside, and we are repulsed by what we see. The Bible says we should absolutely shun sin, but we're sinners, and we know it. How can we shun ourselves?
Actually, what you described as looking inward and being repulsed by it is the first step in healing. You know, when a patient is sick, but the patient denies that there's anything wrong with them, and they think they're perfectly healthy and there's no problem and they just love the way they are, do they actually go to the physician to get help? Christ said, I have not come for those who are healthy, but for the sick, because the sick are the ones who go to the physician. And so the first step in recovery and healing and actual transformation and regeneration is the acknowledgement, there's something sick in me and I don't like it. And I want it different. So that self-loathing, that self-disgust to say, hey, there's something gross about me, something I don't like, something I wish wasn't part of me. That is the step that brings us to the point that we're willing to say, Lord, I need a change.
So if we feel that way, we're actually not beyond the realm. In other words, we haven't moved into the area where God can't reach us, where we can't reach ourselves, where a pastor can't reach us. We are still reachable, right?
Actually, we are. Yes, that's absolutely right. The people who are beyond reach are those who feel no need, those who have complete self-satisfaction, those who believe that they're just perfectly fine and they're in need of nothing. Remember the message to the Laodiceans? You think you're rich and in need of nothing? But you're pitiful, poor, blind, and naked? Okay, so the point is, when we think we need nothing, then we don't seek the help, the remedy, the solution that God has for us. And so it's really the proud, the arrogant, the self-sufficient, the self-righteous that are the ones that are really in danger. Those of us who have this conviction that there's something wrong and we don't like it, we're the ones that actually have the hope of finding the solution, because we're looking for something that will change us in a way that's healthy.
You know, it shouldn't surprise us, Dr. Jennings, that we feel this way about ourselves, because if we have, or at least we have a toehold on the love of Christ in our hearts, we will not want sin. We will be repulsed by it. As a matter of fact, Christ put in us an enmity against sin. So if we are feeling this, that means that we are operating with some kind of Christ in us. Am I right?
You are right. That's exactly right.
Wow. That's good news. That's good news. Well, we're talking today about self-loathing, and apparently, according to Dr. Jennings, we have learned something right off the bat. If we feel this way about ourselves, that's a good thing, because we as Christians should be absolutely repulsed by sin. And if we are the sin, if we have sin in our hearts, we should be repulsed by ourselves. That should not shock us, and not anymore. That should not shock us. Okay, Dr. Jennings, we have recognized sin in our lives. We recognize that we are ready to be spewed out of the mouth of God, as the way he describes sin, people that do not want to be helped. We are not on completely shaky ground. We have some firm foundation here. What is the first step we should take as sinners on that way back to God?
Well, I want to clarify some of the way you expressed that, because I wouldn't expressed it the way you expressed it.
You know,
you've made this very, very personal that he would spew us out of his mouth. We're not the problem. We are infected with a problem, and he wants to cleanse us of the problem. The only way we become a problem is when we refuse his cleansing solution, and we refuse to be freed from this infection that damages our thinking, warps our character, sears our conscience, and takes us from people who love God and love others into people who are so self-absorbed that we'll exploit others and take advantage of others for our own ends. So it's really that warping of the character when we blend ourselves or make ourselves whole. When we have this internal conviction that we don't like this fear, this insecurity, this selfishness, this pride, this arrogance, whatever it is in us, we don't like it. See, that shows that there is a battle going on in the heart between God's methods of loving others and that inherent desire that we're born with to try and promote ourselves, which means God's Spirit is working in us to pull us in the direction of healing. So I wouldn't fully solidify our character in that unless we have thrown off the Holy Spirit, unless we have thrown off God's working in our lives, and then we have embraced this selfish, exploitive, unloving way of living, then we can become one with it. We can, but I wouldn't start as a de facto position that's where we are necessarily.
Well, now we know, Dr. Jennings, how we feel about ourselves when we look at the sin in us and our repulse by it. How does God look at this? I mean, let's stop for a minute here before we go any further, and let's talk about this. When God looks at us in all of our sin, in all of our impurity, in all of our past, what does he see?
When a parent looks at a child, and let's do it two ways. You have a child. Your child is sick with some really bad disease. They are emaciated. They're vomiting. They're nauseated. They're coughing. They got phlegm. They got all this. It's just gross. How do you look at that child? Do you go, oh, it's disgusting. I don't want that child. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Or do you go, whoa, do you have just pity and compassion, and your heart's desire is to bring interventions that will get rid of the disease and restore your child to health? And you see through the lens of treatment where your child would be restored to, and you're not offended or repulsed by your child's sickness. Well, I think that's how God sees us spiritually. He sees that, yes, we're sick. We've got all kinds of defects in heart, mind, character. We do things that are gross and disgusting. But these things, as Jesus said, are symptoms of an unhealed and unregenerate heart. And he sees past that and sees what we will be when we let him work in us. And the evidence for that would be the woman caught in adultery. He's drug out, thrown on the street, and after he dispatches the crowd, notice the conversation. Now, this is God talking to her. Remember, this is God, Jesus, God in human form, talking to her. What does he say? Where are your accusers?
Yeah, this is the most amazing story, and let's dwell here for a minute. This is the most amazing story because I know that in the past, if I ever felt bad about myself, of the way I was living, the way things I had done and whatnot, this story popped into my mind, and I think that you have hit upon the key story to illustrate how God looks at us even in our sinful state. This is an amazing thing. We have a break coming up here, and I want to save the time so you can really develop this story. And listener, I hope that you will get a piece of paper and write some stuff down here, because what Dr. Jennings is going to tell you and this story is going to tell you can change your life. I want to make sure that you have access to us, listener. Our phone lines are open, as they always are, for your questions and comments. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. 800-775-4673. We're going to collect the names of the people who call our show today, and at the end of the program, we're going to have a drawing for Dr. Jennings' book, Could It Be This Simple? A listener last week who was listening to the program called in and said that she had received this book, and it had, quote, changed her life, end quote. And I think, listener, that you will find this book will do the same for you. Here's the number again for the drawing for our book, but you have to come on the air and talk to us. Just say hello. Tell us if you enjoyed the program. Ask a question. Give us a comment. We want to hear from you. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat. Unfortunately, most people take better care of their cars or even their houses than they do their own human body. God's given us many great gifts, the gifts of time, the gifts of love. One of the gifts He's also given us is the gift of our bodies. We're supposed to be stewards of this body. But how many of us, quote, look under the hood, see what's wrong with it? We need some basic checkups. We might need to get our blood pressure or cholesterol or diabetes checked on a regular basis. Some of these things can be happening to us and we don't even know that they're occurring. We take better care of our cars sometimes than we do with our bodies. I want to urge you today to think of your body as a gift. If I gave you a nice car, you'd take care of it. God has given us a nice body, so let's get out there and take care of it.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Hi, this is Jeremy Woodruff, and I have my daughter Elizabeth here with me to tell you how simple it is to study God's Word with the Discover Bible Lessons.
I'm certain our listeners are already keenly aware of the fact that requisitioning time in this frenzied society to spend in careful examination of the Scriptures is difficult at best. They need a resource that enables them to find spiritual enlightenment from the biblical canon without encroaching on their already frenetic schedules.
Right. That's why the Discover Bible Lessons come in the mail one at a time, so anyone can read through the lesson guide and answer the questions whenever they have a few moments.
The Discover Bible Lessons are also available online. One only needs to visit lifetalk.net and click on Bible Study, and they'll find a plethora of options available for spiritual enrichment.
Yes, although the old-fashioned telephone works okay, too. Just ask for the free Discover Bible Lessons when you call 800-775-4673.
It's as simple as extrapolating the Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings, and we're talking about us. We're talking about the fact that many of us, we've become our own worst enemy. We do not love ourselves anymore. And Dr. Jennings has opened our eyes to a very important truth, that if we feel this, if we feel self-loathing, there's hope. That means that we have not given ourselves completely over to, as Star Wars would say, the other side, the dark side. We are absolutely still in God's loving care, and He wants to reach us. And Dr. Jennings, when I mentioned this self-loathing and how God thinks about us, you started with one of the most glorious stories in the Bible. I want to just let you go with this thing. What's that story, and what do we learn?
Yeah, with the woman that was caught in adultery, and she was caught in the very act and drug out before Christ, and they were using this to try and trap Christ. And after He dispatches the crowd, and it's just Him and the woman, He looks at her and says, "Where are your accusers?" Now get the point of the question. If He's asking her, "Where are your accusers?" what is He saying about Himself? Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm not accusing you. You don't hear me criticizing. Hey, I know everything about you. I know where they just brought you from. I know what kind of life you've lived. And I'm not condemning. I'm not criticizing. And just so we don't miss it by the implication of His question, He then goes on and says, "Neither do I condemn you." Now, this is God speaking.
Yeah.
And then after this, and this, by the way, for those who like theological terms, is called imputation of righteousness, where God's imputing righteousness to us. In other words, He treats us as if we had never sinned, even though we have. So you see His grace. He's looking at us just like a parent seeing a child who's sick. The parent isn't condemning the child, isn't angry at the child, only has in the heart to heal the child. That's God's attitude towards us. And so after He treats her with this absolute love, grace, acceptance, hey, I'm not condemning you, I'm not here to put you down, I'm not pointing out the defects, then He says to her, go and live a better life. Go and live free from this sinful way you've been living. And it's this empowerment of recognition of acceptance in our relation with God that actually inspires us to want to do better and draws our heart to Him. Now, this is critical to recognize, because most people do not see God in this light. You'd be surprised, but most people don't. Most people are fearful of how God looks at them. Most people, after a sin, after some shortcoming, are afraid to actually go to God. Just like Adam, after sin, he ran and hid because he was afraid. And in that conversation, God says, Adam, Who told you you were naked? Think that through. Who's in the garden to tell him? Okay, so the implication again is, Adam, you don't hear me pointing this out to you. You don't hear me criticizing. I'm not pointing out defects to you, Adam. That's coming from your own conscience. You are self-loathing because of the mistake you made, but I'm not against you. I'm your friend, buddy. That's coming from God. Well, the problem we have is people have this distorted image of God in their head. And so I'll just give you an example. Have you ever been driving along the street in your city and a police officer pulls up behind you, starts following you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Suddenly you feel like you're doing everything in the world wrong right then. You just feel like
Do you feel the tension level rise?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you feel the stress level rise? and let's say he follows you and you make a couple turns and he's still following you.
Are you
worrying that, okay, he's going to get you 5 minutes, a little bit over the speed limit. You're wanting to make sure your turn signals every time. You're nervous about whether you stray onto a line or not. I mean, you're just watching every little thing you've got going. You're going quickly in your mind. Hey, did I get my registration fixed on my vehicle? I'm up to date. I mean, all these things. In other words, you're suddenly paranoid that you are being followed by somebody who's an enforcer, who's looking for some problem to then write you a ticket or make you pay. This is how many people see God. He's following us around with his recording angels, looking for any mistake we might make. Going to jot it down. Going to write us a heavenly ticket. Going to make us pay. And then there are versions to protect us from that. You see, in our metaphor of the police officer, well, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, well, he rides around with you in the car, and when God is following you with his radar gun, Jesus is like a radar jammer, jamming the Father's signal, so the Father doesn't really know how bad you are, because Jesus is there to protect you and cover you with his blood.
Yeah.
Okay, think that through.
Yeah.
That's so twisted, but that's really what much Christian theology teaches, that we have Jesus there to protect us from the wrath of the Father. We're covered by his blood. The Father doesn't see our record of sins because Jesus has washed them away. All these types of things are basically saying we can't really trust the Father. We have to have Jesus to protect us from him. And this is where a lot of this fear and stuff comes from, these twisted ideas. But Jesus said, of course, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one.
Well, Dr. Jennings, if the woman taken in adultery had listened to the first two of these words from God, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. If she left at that point, she could say to herself, you know what? I just talked to God, and God has no problem with my sin. And guess what? Sin is fun. Sin tastes good. Sin looks good. Sin is fun. So I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do all the sinning because God's not going to condemn me. He's a loving God. He's going to forgive me so I can live the life I want to live, and God doesn't condemn me. A lot of people live that way, Dr. Jennings.
And that's because they actually have bought into the lie that the problem with sin is it offends God and upsets him. And when that happens, as the righteous, wrathful ruler of the universe, he inflicts penalties upon you. And so they have this distorted construct that God's law is something he imposed, and the problem when you break it is he's going to punish you. And now we figured out from Jesus, he's not condemning us. Well, then there's no problem with sin because we're not going to get, angry, wrathful punishment from the Father. Well, they distort the truth and don't understand the actual nature and character of sin itself. You see, when we sin, it actually damages us. It sears our conscience. It warps our reason. It distorts our character. It actually results in physiological changes that increase physical illness and death. It takes away peace and happiness, and ultimately, it leads to death. This is what happens when we sin. And give you a quick example about how we're damaged by that. Just imagine, the listening audience, if you were to molest a child today, and no one ever found out, you were never caught, you were never punished, you were never sent to jail, how well would you sleep tonight? And if you could sleep peacefully after doing such a thing, how damaged a human being must you be? You see, when we commit sin, when we violate God's law of love, we actually sear our own consciences, warp our reason, distort our characters, we damage ourselves. And so the woman caught in adultery that says, hey, he didn't condemn me, I can go out and just party hardy. First off, she didn't hear what he said, go and sin no more, go and live a better life. Right. And secondly, she doesn't understand that the problem was never that God was mad at us. The problem was that we were destroying ourselves. And God wants to protect us from self-destruction and death.
That final statement, go and sin no more, I always, in the past, being raised a good Christian, thought of it as a warning. Because if you sin again, you know, I'm going to come back and we're going to have this conversation again, and I may not be quite so lenient on you, but you're taking a whole different take on this thing, aren't you, Dr. Jennings?
Well, I'm taking the reality of the way God constructed his universe to run. There are certain principles that life are designed to be compatible with, and when you step outside of those principles, there's nothing but pain, suffering, and death that happens. In the Bible, those stepping outside of those principles are termed sin. First John says sin is lawlessness, stepping outside the law or the principles of life. That's what sin is.
Yeah. Well, I am amazed that more people don't fully understand this, because if they did, if they are listening to this program and hearing these words for the first time, they're late for you, listener. These words need to have been talked to you when you were a kid. The fact that God is not our accuser, the fact that God does not condemn us, the fact that God's loving words, go and sin no more, is for our good, not to protect us from him, but for our good. We have a different image of God coming out of this program, Dr. Jennings, and I hope that, listener, you are understanding this. We want to make sure that you understand also that we have a copy of Could It Be This Simple to give to our callers today. We have a drawing at the end of the program for it, and our phone lines are open right now, 800-775-4673. We invite you to come on the air and ask your question or give your comment on the program, and we'll put your name in the drawing, and some lucky winner in about 30 minutes from now will be able to receive a copy of Could It Be This Simple in the mail. Here's the number once again, 800-775-4673. What I hear you saying, Dr. Jennings, is that this whole self-loathing is because we don't have a proper image of God in our mind. Am I on the right track here?
There's no question. That is exactly what caused it in Eden. Adam and Eve believed the distortions of the serpent. They caused a breakdown in love and trust. It caused fear and selfishness to rise in the heart. They ran and hid from God. I mean, it all starts from believing lies about God, and Satan, of course, is the father of lies.
Well, that's good news, because if you are a listener, one of those person who has a lot of self-loathing, you just can't stand yourself, well, good for you. If you can't stand the sin in you, that should be motivation to try to do something about it. But this understanding of God, now I'm going to spend the remainder of the program.
I want to mention something, Charles, about
if you
can't stand it. The way to view that would be the same way if you had cancer and you were dissatisfied with it. If you had chronic pulmonary disease, if you had heart disease, if you have some physical illness that causes you pain every day, arthritis, and you go, I just can't stand this arthritis. Well, that's exactly how we should view the sin that we were born into. It's something we should loathe. We should be disgusted with. We shouldn't like it. But that doesn't mean that we can't recognize that, hey, even though I've got this disorder, this illness, and this is what you read in Romans chapter 7, when Paul says, you know, the things that I want to do, sometimes I don't find myself doing, but it's not I. It's the vestiges of the old man that is in me, but with my mind I praise God, you see? So he was able to make a distinction between his renewed heart and what he wants to do and the old vestiges of the carnal nature that sometimes tug at him from within that he was disgusted with. That's the way we should look at this, not as I'm a gross, horrible person, but hey, I've got this gross, horrible thing that I don't want part of me, and by God's grace, one day we're going to be free from.
Oh, my. That is such good news. We are born into sin. We didn't ask to be born into sin. We did not ask for it. You've talked about this in the program before, Dr. Jennings. We are sinners not by choice. Now, do we ever become sinners by choice? Maybe I'm misreading something here.
Well, we were born with a condition that without God's grace, we cannot overcome. And that condition is a condition called sin.
Uh-huh.
That we can't change it without God's help, and so we shouldn't feel guilty for being born into this condition. Our question is, are we willing to accept the remedy that God provides, which will heal us? That's the question we have to answer.
Well, let's discover that remedy. I am excited. And Phyllis from Washington is waiting to talk to us on the other side of the break. We'll be talking to her in just about 2 minutes. So, Phyllis, stay right where you are, and everybody, don't move.
Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. I'm sure you've faced a difficult situation, a meeting or a commitment where you needed to be brave, an occasion where you needed to perform well. We've all been there. And how encouraging it is when you have family and friends nearby to support and encourage you. Their presence gives you a stimulus for you to do your best and the courage to do the right thing. It's even more motivating to know that God is always right there with you, no matter what happens, no matter where you go. This was Joshua's secret to his courage, and it should be yours too as you face today's challenges. This is Elizabeth George.
It's the domain of legends. Men capable of causing a whole country to hold its breath while waiting for that. One smooth motion of a wrist and an entire nation strains its eyes. Each one urging that little white ball on until it's going, going, gone. Now imagine these living myths. These faces in which you know every line, every wrinkle as sure as you can list their average from last year. And now they're all turned to you, expectant.
This bat's yours, right?
Yeah, kid, that's the one.
To a child with a life-threatening illness, being a bat boy for his favorite team wasn't the end of all his youthful hopes. It was the beginning of them. Visit the Make-A-Wish Foundation at wish.org and share the power of a wish.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. We are talking about being your own worst enemy, and we're hearing good news today on the program. Our phone lines are open at 800-775-4673. Let's talk to Phyllis. She's been very patiently waiting for us from Washington State. Hi, Phyllis. What's on your mind today?
Hi. I was listening to you, and I agree with you on the stand that, you know, we should go forth and sin no more. But I was also reading in John 10, 28-30, and it says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So, if you have been baptized and you have given your life to the Lord when you were young, and you stray for Him, stray from the Lord, it says in the Bible there that you will not perish and you shall never be snatched from my hand.
So Dr. Jennings?
Oh,
yeah.
You know,
sure. In other words, what you're saying, Phyllis, what I hear you saying, Phyllis, is that, you know, once you've given your heart to God, you're all set. You even if you make a little mistake there, even if you sin, God has already saved you and you're on your way. Is that right?
Yes, because we are saved by grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phyllis, it's a great Bible promise that Jesus has made for us, and I think it's an encouragement to us to know that when we trust Him and open our hearts to Him, that He will do the work in us to transform us, heal us, remove those defects of character as we continue to keep our heart open to Him. I think that's a wonderful promise. A metaphor I like to use there are many Christians who doubt that. If they make a mistake, they think, if I stumble, if I fall, then suddenly I'm not in God's grace anymore. But that you're exactly right. That's not what the Scriptures teach. I like the metaphor of an escalator going up. And if you're on an up escalator and you stumble and fall on the escalator, guess which way you're still going? You're still going up. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to have a period in your life and when you're a little bit rebellious and you're running down the escalator, you're still, you know, God's still trying to move you up, even though you're working to try to move yourself down. And
He's actually going to keep working with those people or working with that person
until they choose to
get out so that they can continue to go up.
That's right, unless they choose to jump onto the town escalators.
Now, there you go. Now, that's the whole thing. That's the question I think that Phyllis has in the back of her mind. Is it possible to get off that escalator? If you have given your heart to God and God says, you know, you're saved, you're good to go here, is it possible for us to get off that escalator and actually be lost?
Well, the question really goes down to understanding God's character of love and understanding that love can only exist in an atmosphere with freedom. If you take freedom away, then you've actually taken away love because you've created robots and robots can't love. And so God never removes our freedom to choose to go against him if that's what we should so choose to do. So that possibility remains. Some would argue, though, once we've come into that relationship with God, we've been so persuaded by his truth and his love that we wouldn't make that choice so people don't get off the escalator. But I would always keep open the possibility that people have the freedom to choose to get off, just like perfect angels in heaven without a carnal nature chose to leave that perfection. God doesn't take that freedom of choice away because to do so would actually destroy love, and he will never do that.
So Phyllis is right because, you know, the Bible says God was not going to let go of us, but we can let go of him. Am I on the right track here?
I think that's exactly right. We have the freedom to do that, and you could have the long discussion about whether people will exercise that choice once they've come back into that healing and saving relation with Christ or not. Some people would argue those who would, quote-unquote, leave that were never really in that in the first place. They just were in a false relationship or accepted a false Christ or a false image of God, and that's why they left. So some would make the argument all those in that true saving relationship won't leave. Others would make the argument that if you're in that true saving relationship because you still have the freedom, Satan still works to try and further dupe you and deceive you and get you to turn against Christ. I think that for me, any individual life is not where I'm going to make a judgment. I'm making a conclusion about the character and nature of God, that he leaves us free, and it is up to us to continue to give our hearts freely to him in love, and we have the choice to do that or not, and he won't take that choice from us.
Well, Phyllis, you have given us a wonderful insight into God's love, and we appreciate that, Phyllis.
Well, thank you for your information, too. It's been wonderful.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. That is good news. I love a program that leaves a good taste in the mouth, and this one does. Even though we're talking about when we hate ourselves and we have self-loathing over our sins, Dr. Jennings, you're always turning this around and says, you know, there is good news in the Bible there. And Phyllis just pointed out one of those wonderful texts. There is good news in the Bible. God doesn't give up on us. We give up on him. And I got to ask you this question, Dr. Jennings. How long is that escalator working? How long is that escalator available to us? We can hop on. We can hop off. We can say, I don't want that escalator to God. I want to get off. I don't want to be saved. How long does that escalator work and available to us?
As long as we are capable of responding to his invitation. God invites us into a saving relationship with him. He sends every inducement he can to win us over to trust. He sends his spirit. He sends his angels. He sent his son. Everything that can possibly be done to reach us, he is doing to reach us. But he doesn't force us, because the moment coercive pressure or power is brought to bear, freedom is destroyed, which destroys love. God will never do that. So he always leaves us free. Now, this comes back to what we were talking about earlier. What are the consequences to living a life of sin? The consequences to living a life of sin are, as the Bible says, the conscience gets seared, the reason gets warped, the mind becomes darkened, the character becomes destroyed. And if you persist in a sinful, rebellious, unruly life long enough, you can actually sear or destroy the very faculties that are sensitive to the movements of God's Spirit. In other words, the faculties that recognize truth and appreciate love. We can be so damaged that no amount of truth, no amount of light, no amount of evidence, no amount of compassion, no amount of goodness, no amount of grace, no amount of love will have any impact on us. We are hardened like stones and rocks, and we cannot be reached. It's not that God wouldn't want to reach us, but we can move ourselves past the point that any truth, any light shining from his throne has any redemptive influence on us, because we've seared within us the very faculties. The escalator for that person is closed. Not that God has closed it, but they've closed themselves off from it.
Oh, my. If what he just said to you, listener, brought a little tear to your eye, you are in good hands. You are in God's hands. There is hope for you. There is hope for all of us. That escalator is still running. If, as long as we have any kind of desire to get back on that escalator. I like the escalator idea here. As long as we have any desire at all to get back on it, I don't care how much dirt you've done. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you have accomplished or not accomplished. I don't care what sin you have in your life. If you have a desire to be back with God, the escalator, friend, is running and running and running right near you. And I invite you, and Dr. Jennings invites you, to just make that choice and get over there on that escalator and begin that lifting action again. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. Phyllis is our drawing possibility here. If you'd like to join this, if no one else calls, Phyllis, you got it. But if someone else calls, let's put Phyllis's name in there with someone else. 800-775-4673. We have a copy of Could It Be This Simple, a biblical model for healing the mind. I'm getting excited. I love doing this show. I get excited every time I talk to you, Dr. Jennings. 800-775-4673. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to mention that in keeping with our show today, learning to love yourself, your own worst enemy, I have many patients who come to see me who in past mistakes, they beat themselves up. They ruminate over it. They look back on it. They kick themselves. They spend years just in agony over some past mistake. And then they fear the future, and they fear the future in heaven because they're afraid people are going to know about that past mistake. They fear the judgment when these things will be revealed and all this type of thing. And the question that they don't ask, which is really the only relevant question, is not have you made mistakes in the past? The question is, through God's grace, have you experienced a new heart and a right spirit? Have you been changed in the inner man? Have you learned from the past mistakes so you're not like that anymore?
Go and sin no more.
Exactly. Or are you still the same twisted, evil person in heart that you were when you made the mistake? And so the question that you have to be asking yourself is not that I make mistakes in the past, but what is the condition of my heart today? That's the question. And the metaphor you should look at would be the metaphor of a physical illness. You can look back on your past when you had pneumonia. And when you had pneumonia, you were sick and you were feverish and you had chills and you had coughs and the cough brought up all this ugly crud and it was really gross and disgusting. Do you look back at that and go, oh, I just hate myself because back, 23 years ago, I was so sick and I had this terrible disease and I just hate myself for it? Or do you go, yeah, that was an awful time, but praise God, I'm not like that today.
Amen.
And that is the question, because God's good news is a good news that when we come to know him, it's a regenerating. We get a new heart and a right spirit. We get circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit. The heart of stone is removed. The heart of flesh is put in. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. It's a complete regenerating, transforming identity change where we get to be like Christ designs us to be. And we embrace that new identity and live that new life in his grace.
You know, Dr. Jennings, the very next step we must talk about on this program is reflected on phone calls that I receive every once in a while from someone I've known in the past. And they'll call and they say, Charles, I want to apologize for something I did. I may not even remember what it was. And I recognize that these people are going through a program, a 12-step program. There are people listening right now who are nodding their heads. They know where these phone calls are coming from. They maybe even made some of these phone calls. When an alcoholic or a drug abuser runs through the program of drawing out and rebuilding life, there are steps that they take. One of those steps is to deal with the people you have harmed in the past. Well, let's say that we have been a sinner, chief among all sinners, as Paul calls himself, and we have done some really bad things, and we have caused some really bad damage. What does God, Dr. Jennings, what does God expect us to do with those piles of trash that we have left in the background, that we have, the lives that we have hurt, the damage we have done in this process of becoming our own best friend instead of being our own worst enemy? What does God expect us to do with our past? 800-775-4673 is our phone number. We have a break coming up, and we'll talk about this on our return. We have a copy of Could It Be This Simple to share with our lucky winner of our drawing, 800-775-4673. There's a little book called Steps to Christ that I love to read, and we want to talk about one of those steps right here that alcoholics know about, drug abusers know about as they're trying to change their life. The step of reconciling, coming to grips with what we have done in the past. So everybody, stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Canned vegetables, canned vegetables.
Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay?
I am.
Well, closer. Come on, help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're barking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
But I want them.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put my number down.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Yeah, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. I'm Charles Mills. We are talking about the best news I can think of on this earth, and that is if we are our own worst enemy, if we look back on our lives and we say, yuck, what an awful person I am, God is loving us so much, and God has a wonderful plan for us to return to Him, and it simply is we say we need God. We recognize the truth about God. And here's the next step, Dr. Jennings. I got to ask you about this. When we have made a mess of our lives, in the process, made a mess of other people's lives, we have left awful trash in the background, in the wake of our lives. What are we supposed to do with all that stuff? Are we supposed to dig through it? Are we supposed to call everybody we've ever wronged? What are we supposed to do?
We're supposed to be willing to love others more than ourselves, using our reason to bring healing and not harm those we've already harmed. You see, a lot of times when people have come to the point of conviction and they want to have a new life and they want to turn their lives around, and they're even working the 12-step program, they're in the process now where they're experiencing the guilt and the conviction of wrongs past, and they are interested in finding that true, genuine healing that God would have for them. Sometimes, though, they can have this focus still on self, where it's about me doing what I have to do to get my check marks checked so that I can have the right things done and I can feel good about me. And therefore, they will make contact with people they've injured in the past who shouldn't be contacted.
Because
the contact, and this is what the 12-step programs actually say, we make amends where it adds no further harm or it doesn't add further injury. And so there are times when reaching out to make amends could actually add further harm and further injury. And at those times, we are willing in our heart to reach out if the opportunity arises where it would not be harmful to the other person. And we remain open and willing at any time that event should arise. But we restrain ourselves from doing so because we don't want to harm another person worse than they've already been hurt.
Now, I would assume that an example of this would be like if you've had an affair. Well, the last thing you should do is go find that woman or that man again and try to make amends. Am I on the right track?
Well, that would be a great example. Let's say you had an affair 23 years ago, one-night stand with somebody, and you know, on two sides of this. It was a one-night stand, and you never told your wife or your husband, whichever way it goes. And 23 years later, you've been convicted, you've been converted. Will it do any good, number one, to tell your wife that you had this affair 23 years ago, or will it put a burden on her that she doesn't need to carry? Mm-hmm. and it actually plants a seed in her heart of doubt and distrust, as well as anger, and she will now have to forgive you lest she be infected with the very evil that led you to do it in the first place. So it puts a burden on her she doesn't need, number one. Number two, the person from 23 years ago, we don't know where their life is, we don't know what's going on, maybe we do. Let's say they're in a happy marriage, they've repented a long time ago, but they never told their spouse. Going back and digging that up may only cause further problems, cause a split in a marriage, all types of things. So there are times and circumstances where we've had the change of heart. We're willing to make amends when the opportunity is appropriate, but we restrain ourselves if it would injure others in the process.
Well, give us some examples then when it would be a good idea to go back and make some changes and make some amends.
I think there are many opportunities, and of course, time is part of it as well. But let's say you've stolen something from somebody. You could return that thing you've stolen. In the case of David in the Bible, it's very interesting. David, of course, stole Bathsheba and murdered Uriah. And then after that, he had a true repentance, a true change of heart. And what did he do? Did he restore Uriah to Bathsheba?
He couldn't.
Well, he couldn't. No. So did he turn his back on Bathsheba? You know, repentance, turning away from. Isn't that what it's often said? Repentance, just turn away from our sin. So he repents and he turns away. Did he turn his back on Bathsheba or did he marry Bathsheba?
Yeah, he married her.
Well, why was that if he repented? I thought when you repent, you leave your sin behind.
He went to a different level, Dr. Jennings. He went to that level you're talking about. What is best for Bathsheba in this case?
Exactly right. Not only did he take Uriah from her. In that culture, when he took Uriah and made her a widow, he took her station, her dignity, her income, her livelihood, her property. Everything was taken from her when she became a widow. And so the only way he could restore as far as possible what he took, her reputation, her name, her dignity, property, income, livelihood, all those things, was to marry her. And in that culture, the married woman had all those positions, rights, and privileges. The widows really were on the outs. And so this is why he married her, to restore as far as possible all that he had taken from her.
Oh, my. Well, we are coming to the last few moments of our program. And again, we might have time for another caller if you'd like to join the conversation. Listener, 800-775-4673. 800-775-4673. Well, the good news is that there is always hope for us as long as we desire hope. The good news is that God loves us. The bad news is that sometimes, Dr. Jennings, correct me if I'm wrong, we have to learn to live with our past mistakes. Some people think if I get forgiveness, if God just comes down and just loves me and everything's fine with heaven, then I don't have to deal with this anymore. But is that the case?
Well, David, after his repentance and reconciliation with God and marrying Bathsheba, had peace with God, but he still had consequences in his life when Absalom tried to overthrow him and all these ripples that went through the kingdom based on the actions that he had taken. So he still had to live with consequences that came from it external to him, but he did not have to live with internal guilt, internal self-condemnation, internal shame. He had peace within because he was reconciled to God and his heart was renewed, even though he had ripples in his life external to his heart that he still had to deal with.
I like that. Peace within. In other words, in his heart of heart, he stopped hating himself. He started loving himself as a child of God. He still had to deal with the mess out there, but you know what? I would rather deal with mess outside if I have peace within than try to deal with mess out there if I don't have peace within. Doesn't that make sense to you, Dr. Jennings?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And of course, when you grow in that perspective, then you understand that even those acts of sin that David committed, they were symptoms of his heart unregenerated. And that is what God, and we all have sins in our lives.
Yeah.
And they're symptoms of an unregenerate heart. They're symptoms of a heart that is sick with a condition which we did not choose, but were born with. And the whole plan of salvation is the plan of healing, the plan of regeneration, the plan of restoring within us love for God and love for others, that we are willing to deny ourselves for the benefit of other people, to do what's right, not simply what they want.
Well, we have gone on an amazing journey in the last 3 weeks on this program, and I invite you, listener, if you did not catch the other two programs in this series, I want you to go to www.comeandreason.com. That's www.comeandreason.com, and you can download or you can stream the program from July 7 and July 14. The first one is called Blowing It, Living with Past Mistakes, and the July 14 program, Hiding from God, Seeking Balance After Sin. And then today's program, Your Own Worst Enemy. Give us a couple days to get this posted up there, and you can get a wonderful, wonderful insight into how to learn to love yourself again. Dr. Jennings, is this a real problem? Do a lot of the people that come see you just can't stand themselves?
There's no doubt that people are feeling inadequate, insecure. Remember, as soon as Adam sinned, he ran and hid because he was afraid. He was self-loathing. He was guilt-ridden. He didn't like himself. He was fearful. He was insecure. The whole world struggles with fear and insecurity. And we have insecurity about how other people will treat us, whether we'll be valued, whether we'll be loved, whether we'll be respected, whether we'll be accepted, whether we'll have somebody to care about us, we'll be in relationship. We have these terrible insecurities about rejection, about abandonment, about criticism, about being found flawed or defective. These insecurities ride within us because of the nature we were born with. Perfect love casts out all fear. As we come back into that love relation with God and we come to think about others first, loving others more than ourselves, the fears are actually eliminated from our hearts and we actually have more peace with ourselves. So we don't get more peace with ourselves by focusing on ourselves. The more we focus on ourselves, the less peace we have. We get more peace with ourselves by focusing on God and others.
Well, this has been, like I said, an amazing journey. And Dr. Jennings, I really appreciate the words of wisdom that you have given us on this topic. And listener, I hope that in the last 3 weeks you have learned some important lessons as well. Next week, our shows are called Some Days Are Stone. That will remind you of a song from some time ago. Some days are golden, some days are stone. Let's talk about when those days come and we are just at our wit's end. How to deal with the problems we're facing. God has some wonderful advice for us, and Dr. Jennings will share that with us. Phyllis from Washington. Hey, Phyllis, guess what? You are our only caller today, you lucky lady, and we're going to send you a copy of Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We appreciate the wonderful Bible text that you shared with us, the wonderful insight, Phyllis, and we hope that you will enjoy a copy of the book. And listener, if you'd like a copy of this book and other Jennings resources, please visit the website at www.comeandreason.com. That's www.comeandreason.com. And you can hear programs from the past and resources that will help you in the future. Well, Dr. Jennings, thank you very, very much for being here. Listeners, thank you. And until next week, this is Charles Mills with Dr. Timothy Jennings, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.